This is Case Closed, Crime Stories from the Golden Age of Radio. With another hour of old-time radio crime, this is Case Closed. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining me again this Wednesday, where we start off with Pete Kelly's Blues, an episode from February 20th, 1951, titled Dutch Courtney. Then after Believe It or Not, it's Boston Blackie and the Wentworth Diamonds. Episode first aired April 25th, 1945.
This one's about Pete Kelly. It's about the world he goes around in. It's about the big music and the big trouble and the big 20s. When they ask you, tell them this one's about the blues. Pete Kelly's Blues.
Pete Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Jim Moser and music by Dick Cathcart. Number 417 Cherry Street is a standard speakeasy. The help is paid in cash. The books are burned at the end of the month. Every week, we use 30 cases of booze and a pound of coffee. After salaries, there's gas and lights and a payoff to the Prohibition boys. In Kansas City, the price is good. For $100, they steer in the drunks and make one raid a year. The place is run by George Lupo. He's a quiet little guy who wouldn't give you the sweat off an ice pitcher. The beer's green and the gin's as young as yesterday and the music's loud. I'm Pete Kelly. I play cornet. We start every night about 10 o'clock and we play till they sweep out the broken glass. We don't draw any customers. We don't chase any away. The music is straight New Orleans. It started in the front parlors of Storyville and drifted up north. Some of it laid over in Chicago. That's where I got on. And wrote it out here with a piano player named Augie. Well, he's still with the band, but last night he was barely with it. We took a break about 11. Augie was late getting back. Might as well have stayed in there because he kept looking around the room, and the way the piano sounded, you'd think he had on a catcher's mitt. That'll do it. Let's get off for a while, huh?
Sorry, Pete. Running a little behind tonight.
You haven't left the station. What's the matter, Augie?
I'm nervous. Take a look around. Near the door, back this way. Place is full of cops.
Well, forget it. Have Jake open a couple of windows. And take a walk. Get yourself in shape, huh?
Not till I find out which way to fall. These boys are here for heavy duty. I learned that out in the kitchen.
Now, let's duck behind the stand. All right, what about it?
You know that's Courtney?
I drink his beer, that's all.
Well, somebody shot Courtney up tonight out near Highway 40.
Well, that's too bad. He'd have drawn a good crowd downtown. Who killed him?
I don't know, but whoever he is in for a big night. The police are trying for him. So's his partner.
Well, let him play. How does our place fit into it?
I couldn't guess, but we'll find out soon. See the big guy that just walked in the door?
Yeah, boss cop?
Almost. It's Eddie Newman, Dutch Courtney's partner.
Come on, we better get back in the stand.
Kelly.
Yeah?
My name's Newman. Come outside.
Well, we're due to play.
I'll hear you later. Come on. You hear about Dutch, Courtney? Pick him out of the mud tonight.
Means nothing to me.
Does to me. Dutch was a friend.
Well, if it'll help, cry.
I'm short on time, Kelly. Now give me a rundown on Gus Trudeau.
There's nothing to say. He played for a while and he went to the Boneyard.
You know him. You know his sister.
You'll have to ask Courtney about that. I haven't seen her since the old days.
You knew Gus well enough to figure he didn't like Dutch Courtney. He didn't like him 1 pound.
Well, you can't blame him. Dutch sidestepped and paid Trudeau's way to jail.
Bookkeeping. I don't know anything about it.
All right, look, Newman. You're on the wrong track. This is a job killing. Your boy got frisky and somebody sent down a Chicago gun. The price tag shows.
Sorry, Trudeau's my pick.
What'd he hit him with? A high-powered rifle? Gus Trudeau's away up in Leavenworth.
He used to be. Gus went over the wall this morning. When he shows up, I want him.
Well, why pick me?
I've asked around. He'll head for you. He's broke. He'll need train fare.
No, not if he killed Dutch Courtney. Somebody will give him a railroad. When they dragged the blues out of the back room and moved them up front, there were three of the best leading the parade. They were all blowing cornets. One was Buddy Bolden, one was King Oliver, and the other was Gus Trudeau. Oh, he was a lot of music, but not much man. He picked me up on a union date on the south side of Chicago and taught me how to play. He got into me for a Boston three-star cornet and gin for the rest of his life. When he got down to running errands for Dutch Courtney, I left for Kansas City. A couple of months later, Courtney needed a patsy, and Trudeau was it. He wound up with a 5-year stand at Leavenworth. But Gus never felt right unless he was in trouble. Only this time, he cut me in for a piece, too. Well, I picked up a drink at the bar and fought my way back to the stand.
Anything wrong?
No. Did you finish the set?
One more to go, Jasmine.
All right, let's do it.
What's wrong, Pete?
Friend of ours killed Dutch Courtney. Jasmine. Get off for a while.
Now, who did you say killed Dutch Courtney?
Gus Trudeau.
What with? Brad? Trudeau's in jail.
No, not since this morning.
Which one of you is Kelly?
I am.
A friend of yours in town wants to see you right away.
Who is it?
He's waiting up at your room.
Did he give a name?
Just Gus.
An hour later, I was still looking for an out. It was a little after 2 a.m., our base man, Red, loaned me his car keys, and I slipped out. I got onto 12th Street and picked up his Erskine coupe and headed up for my room. All the way out Grand Avenue, the streetlights were spending the rest of New Year's alone. Some guys with wide brooms were pushing at the confetti, and the fog was loafing down Washington Square. When I got to my place, I parked the car in back and headed up the stairs. College kids down at the end of the hall had their door open. Their party sounded young. I was looking for Gus when I opened the door, but he had a substitute. I knew her way back at 18th and Halstead. She was pretty and the fastest freight in town. That must have been a long time ago, because somewhere along the line she'd run into a batch of Wednesday weekends. She wasn't pretty anymore.
Hello, Pete.
Where's your brother?
I don't know where Gus is. That's why I'm here. I knew you'd be the first one he'd come to.
Yeah. Now what about the break?
I was up to see him 2 weeks ago. He didn't say anything about it. Pete, we've got to help him.
I've been hearing that since I met him.
You're the only one who remembers, Pete. You're the only one who cares.
Yeah, well, a lot of people care now. Eddie Newman wants him. The cops are looking hard.
I've got to find him before they do. You've got to help Pete.
He was supposed to meet me. That's all I know. I'll wait for him.
He needs a hand, Pete. He's in deep.
Yeah, well, he's always in deep. Now, you do what you want, Madge. I ran front for Gus too long. I'm out of the habit now.
Please.
Gus wants cover. He can look for a police station.
Gus can get away. Some money and a car. That's all he needs.
It's going to take more than that to get out. Every cop in town's working tonight.
Oh, give him a chance, Pete. Help him.
No, thanks.
Gus has been good to you, Pete. He taught you music. He's been nothing but good to you.
I'm paid up. I bought his gin for 5 years.
Then do it for me. For what I used to be worth.
No, it's old. It was 80 years ago. I can't help Gus.
Do it for me. I haven't changed that much.
I have.
You're still the same.
You've been working at it.
And you remember.
Yeah.
It's the same, Petey. It's just like the first time.
You never had a first time. How about a drink?
Will you help me, Pete? Find Gus. Get him out of town.
All right, $10. As far as I go, $10 and a quarter. Now I'm getting off.
Where are you going?
Back to work. Tell Gus to take care of himself.
Hold it right there, Pete.
You stay too long in Chicago, Madge.
I bought the gun in Kansas City. Don't go for the door.
You better give it to Gus. He may need it.
We're going to find him. You're going to help me.
All right, come on. Give me the gun, Madge.
If I shoot, it'll hurt.
Come on, put it away, Madge. Come on, drop it.
Who's she?
We'll trade. Who are you?
Cage. I work downtown on homicide. Who you got on your floor?
Madge Trudeau.
Tell me about her.
I knew her in Chicago. After that, I heard she did favors for Dutch Courtney. After that, I don't know.
Is she tired? What's she doing here?
Looking for Gus Trudeau.
Where is Gus?
I don't know. I've been asked that twice tonight. This is the third time I don't know.
You probably will.
Why? Why do I have to get into this?
Because you're Gus Trudeau's friend.
Then let's get him another one. I'm tired of the job.
I don't blame you, fella. You'll come out of this with a lot of trouble.
For instance?
I'll make it simple. If Gus Trudeau shows and you turn him over to Newman, we'll send you up as an accessory to murder.
Yeah.
If he shows and you turn him over to us, Newman will probably kill you.
Oh, that's real good. In the meantime, what do you guys do for a living?
We're busy. We couldn't prove Newman killed you. It's after 2. Get back to that club.
Leave you here?
I got work to do.
Like what?
This woman. I'll see if I can get anything out of her.
Yeah, well, it's been done before, but I'll bet 10-1 in your case.
Go on back. I'll tidy up here.
Good night, cop. Leave the rugs. I left Cade standing in the middle of the room looking down at Madge Trudeau. He didn't watch me leave, but I figured it wouldn't be too long before he'd turn that gleam back on me. Well, I went back to 417 and ran into our piano man, Augie, outside in the alley trying to steal some clean air.
Happy holidays, Petey. How's Gus?
I didn't see him.
Oh, forget him. I got it all figured out for the two of us, Petey. Today we'll spend our time dodging destiny. We'll hit for some small back room. I'll bring the bottled goods and we'll live on gin and sauerkraut and make the walls sit up and listen. One horn, one piano. The blues, Petey. We'll ride them in the middle of next year.
All right, save it, will you? Just set me straight.
Right now, across the river, there's two places. The High Life Club or Fat Annie's.
You sure he's there?
That's what the word is. I'll pass the hat down at the Union Hall for both of you.
Is Gus alone over there?
He is now, but there's going to be a crowd.
What do you mean?
I told you.
Yeah.
When Eddie Newman gets back, I got to tell him.
I knew it was a silly move. Newman had 100 guns on tour for Gus. Cage and the boys from headquarters were standing by for seconds. Helping Gus Trudeau was out of order, but I couldn't get one thing out of my mind. If Gus did kill Courtney, why didn't he pick up some travel money before he did it? I was backward. If you're going to hang up your pants, you take them off first. Well, it was about 3 a.m. when I got down to the river and crossed over to the Kansas side. The High Life Club was smoked up and had a little of everything, except Gus Trudeau. I looked in the kitchen and tried a back room. Then I went to the bar to see if I could drum up some talk. I had one taker, a boy with wavy black hair. He got up from a table of 3 others, walked over and sat down next to me.
Hello. Come in your office?
No, it's the first time.
Welcome, then. Buy a drink?
No, I'm all set. Try one yourself.
Oh, I think drinking's all right, but I hate people who drink too much, don't you?
You work here?
Well, not regularly. Sometimes I dance and the other act doesn't show up. You here alone? Waiting for someone?
Waiting for a guy named Gus Trudeau.
You one of his friends?
I'm it. Where is he?
He left a while ago. I'm not sure where he
went.
Well,
get sure. It's important.
When he mentioned someone named Bethy,
I... All right, hold it.
Well, what are you here, Kelly?
All right, get away, Newman. Try another stool.
That'll do.
If he asked you to leave, I think you should leave.
Well, well. Choir boy. That's nice.
Leave him alone.
Who is he?
I never saw him before.
What's he know about Trudeau?
Nothing.
Don't kid me. You're not here to spend the time of day. You're here for Trudeau. You, little friend, where's Gus Trudeau?
I don't have to talk to you. I'm a guest in this place.
You're not anymore. Now climb down and head for that door, both of you.
You can't make us do that. We're not going to leave.
It's a split vote, Buster. I don't like the way he pushes.
That's right. Just walk. I'll bet you look good.
I knew right then. As we walked out, I knew Eddie Newman wasn't going to leave him alone. He was going to pick at him, whether he knew anything about Gus Trudeau or not. was going to get messy, and the boy with the nice eyes was going to help. Outside, it wasn't snowing anymore, but the ground was covered right down to the river. The moon out, and it looked all right, if you like nature. We walked over toward a bunch of trees. Newman's car was parked there, a black touring sedan with a strong-arm guy in the back seat. There was another one sitting on the running board. He had a machine gun across his lap.
This'll do. All right. Now let's hear about Gus Trudeau.
I don't know anything about him. This man and I were just talking.
Go easy, Newman. I never saw him before.
Does he always talk to strangers? I'll bet he does.
None of your business.
Where's Gus Trudeau?
I wouldn't tell you. Suppose I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, yes, you would.
You keep your hands off of me.
Stop pressing, Newman. You don't care about Trudeau now. You just don't like this guy.
Stay out, Kelly. Come here, you. Stop screeching. I'll break your arm off.
Keep your hands off of me, you big, dirty pig.
I'm in trouble, fella. Shut up.
He is a pig. His hands are dirty and his teeth are dirty. I'll beat him and his clothes are dirty. Oh, damn it.
Now lay there. All right, Dave, move in here. Back away, Kelly. You're up, choir boy.
Please, Mr. Do something. Don't let a thing like this happen.
It already has, Buster.
We're all through, Newman.
Come on, Dave. It's getting cold.
Newman climbed into the car and they drove off. I stayed there a minute to look at the guy in the snow. His face was unmarked. I did him a favor. I rolled him over so it showed in the moonlight. I knew his mother'd want him to look good the night Eddie Newman's chopper squad cut him down. Well, the name Bessie had to mean Fat Annie's place up the river on the Kansas side. I made it there and found Bessie. She was back at the piano wandering around somewhere in the middle of the blues. You couldn't miss that voice if she took up yodeling. Bessie Smith.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Bessie. What do you know?
Round back, Pete. You go up the stairs, the loft. Way up there at the top.
Thanks, Bessie.
Okay, Pete. All right, Eddie.
I felt my way out around back and up a couple of flights of stairs that didn't creak in time with the music. There was a door at the top. I pushed it open. He was hunched back on a pile of hay in the corner. He sat up and blinked a couple of times. There wasn't much left, just the frame. And rattling around inside, a lot of tired echoes that wouldn't lay down and die. There was an empty gin bottle on the floor.
Petey, I knew you'd get here.
Yeah, well, they didn't make it easy.
You're looking good, Petey. Everything's 6-2 and even, huh?
You forget easy, Gus. You're in a jam. You broke jail.
Yeah, I told him all about you up there, Petey. I told him there's another Gus Trudeau blowing down in Kansas City. I'm proud of you, Petey.
Yeah, sure, Gus.
You're just like me, Pete. I told him all about you. You're the only good thing I ever done. I knew you'd come through. Car and some money, Pete. It'll do everything. It'll make it all new. Is it too much to ask? You tell me, Pete.
They want you for Dutch Courtney.
You know better, Pete. I didn't kill Dutch.
Well, you had a reason.
Did I? I forget.
He hung a frame on you, Gus. 5 years worth, remember?
I didn't kill Dutch. Give me a drink, a boy.
No, not tonight.
Don't preach at me. Just something to help me over.
Oh, yeah, now come in out of the fog, Gus. You're going to get a drink or a train ticket for me. Take your pick, because it's the last time around.
Just listen to that. Bessie's still going strong, ain't she?
Yeah, and so are the cops. I got one idea for you, Gus. Get moving.
You remember Chicago, Petey? You and Madge. Chicago always liked me.
You checked out, Gus. Beiderbecke's got your chair.
They'll remember me and you, Petey. I found you when you were nothing.
What are you going to do? Where are you going?
I got it all set up. It's big and brand new. A place in Mexico.
Yeah?
The guy who bunked in my cell with me, his mother runs a place down there. It'll be just like it used to be.
Well, you won't get there on a gin bottle.
I got it set up, boy. A car and some money. It's not much to ask. You haven't got a drink, have you?
You can drink in Mexico. Where are you dreaming up the car and the dough?
It's fixed, boy. You just see this guy and tell him I'm ready. Abe Gaffney. He's got a place on Pershing Road. You know it?
Yeah, I know it. Abe's doing all this?
Just tell him I'm ready. How's Madge?
She's all right.
Come and see me, huh? It's hot down in Mexico.
Gets hot here.
What's the matter, Pete? You ain't sore, are you?
No, I ain't sore. I'm just tired. I'll tell Gaffney and then I'm checking out. Goodbye, Gus.
You're not getting too big for your old friends, are you, boy?
Friends are like everything else, Gus.
Yeah?
They wear out on you. wasn't any different than a dozen times before. I knew there wasn't very much left, but I wasn't looking for a second-rate ghost with an empty gin bottle. Well, I crossed the river to the Missouri side, headed down Main Street, and then I swung over toward Abe Gaffney's place on Pershing Road. It was pushing close to 5:30 a.m. The sun wasn't up yet, and the night was too tired to care. I pulled up in front of the Murad sign out in front of Gaffney's. Inside, a counterman with pimples and coffee was leaning on last night's paper. A beaded curtain shut off the hallway that led back to Gaffney's room.
You want something?
Yeah, Gaffney.
Not here.
Where do I find him?
I don't know.
I was supposed to meet him here.
That's so?
Look, this is Gaffney's place. Where is he?
I told you.
Now, listen, Junior. Maybe you think you do a good imitation of Calvin Coolidge, but I want an answer. Where's Gaffney?
What's your name?
Kelly.
You could have saved an argument this way. Through the curtain.
When do you go to bed, Kelly?
Yeah. You still looking, Newman?
I'm still asking. Where's Guts?
I don't think he'd give me time to answer.
There's a good reason why I let you walk away tonight. I gave you 2 hours all by yourself on the Kansas side. I don't think you threw him away. You got a line on Gus Trudeau, and I want it.
I got nothing for you.
Don't be silly, Pete. The cops get him, or I do. He goes either way.
You get no help from me.
I don't want help. I want Gus. Now, come on. Come on. Come on, or I'll make you part of the wallpaper.
You better send for Dave.
I don't need it.
I think you do. Now, don't bother to get up. I'm leaving.
I don't believe it. Wasn't your turn, Kelly.
When I got up off the floor, the room was cold and the lights were out. Newman was gone, but I knew he was still in business. I knew if he didn't find Gus Trudeau this trip, he'd come back for me. Well, I got into Red's car and followed the radiator cap back to 417. I found Offie back at the stand having breakfast.
Did you bring an egg, Petey? Kitchen's closed down.
Newman been back here?
I haven't noticed. You look abused.
Yeah. Did anybody say anything?
Who missed? You heard the news?
What's that?
They found the guy who got Dutch Courtney. A fellow by the name of Doyle. East St. Louis. Cops got the goods on him. Gun, fingerprints, the works.
What was his beef with Dutch?
Doyle owned East St. Louis. Dutch wouldn't believe it.
I'll leave it to Gus. If there's a hole, he'll fall in it.
Makes it easier, doesn't it? Newman will call his boys off now.
Well, somebody better tell him in a hurry.
Did you see Gus?
Yeah, I saw him. He's trying to get out of town.
Pete Kelly?
That's right.
Dave Gaffney, Pete.
Well, you're a hard man to find.
Newman came in the front door. I went out the back. This won't take long. Car keys and money for Gus.
Well, you got the wrong guy, Abe. I quit an hour ago.
Fight it out with yourself. Car's out in the alley. Gray Chandler. Tell Gus it's low on gas.
No, wait a minute. You can take this stuff to Gus. You know where he is.
No, thanks. You take care of Gus. He's an old friend.
What's the matter with you?
I hardly know him.
The clock over the bar said 6:15. We got back on the stand and started the last set. 80 pounds of stale cigarette smoke was holding up the ceiling, waving down in a dirty blue curtain over the dance floor. Behind the bar, one of the guys was wiping up. Two couples picked their way to the dance floor and pushed each other around a while. They finally gave up. Oh, the whole thing, it was all out of step. Wrinkled stockings, brown gardenias, torn paper hats, and Gus Trudeau. He walked in the door and stood off to one side, just back of the stand.
Hey, Pete, Gus got here. He's safe now.
Don't make book on it. All right, last one. The blues in B flat.
right, that's it. Same call tonight, 10 o'clock. You can pop up.
Pete! Petey! Over here!
I heard you. You sound good, Pete. Just what I told him up there. You're on your way, boy.
All right, now you heard it, Gus. Here's the money. And the car keys. I'll see you, Gus.
You know what I told him? Another Gus Trudeau's blown down to Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, boy. I'm leaving.
Happy New Year, Gus.
Hi, Madge.
Hold it there, Pete. It's a family fight. Stay out.
I thought I took that gun away from you.
What's the matter, Madge? What are you doing?
Don't tell me that talk, Gus. Dutch can't hear you.
What do you mean, Madge?
You killed him. You blew your top and killed him just like you did everything else for me. You and the gin and that cheap brass horn of yours. You spared us all, Pete and me. You ran through the whole bunch till you got to Dutch.
Pete, I didn't do anything.
You killed Dutch Courtney. I loved him. I loved him enough to square
it. You got it wrong, Madge.
Goodbye, Gus. I'll tell him to throw your horn in after you.
Read the paper, Madge. You killed the wrong brother.
Stay away, Pete.
It's in the paper, Madge. A guy by the name of Doyle. He killed Dutch.
They're not sure. Are they?
They're sure.
What'll I do?
I got two things for you, Madge. And the car keys. Now, you see what you can do with 10 minutes start.
You didn't have anything more for Gus, did you, Pete?
No, I guess not.
Well, you made it.
Yeah, Gus finally got out of town.
Pete Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Jim Moser and music by Dick Cathcart, scoring by Matty Matlock. Pete Kelly's Blues is based on characters created by Richard L. Breen.
Come as a surprise to the ladies who own or have wanted to own an ermine wrap. The ermine, which is highly prized, and the stoat, which is detested, are one and the same animal, believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the courage of a woman which few humans would dare to match. In 1843, the Countess Rosa Bronica traveled to Germany in search of medical advice. The German physicians diagnosed her ailment as cancer and urged immediate surgery. But the Countess, not wanting to alarm her family, secretly purchased surgical instruments. Then, locked in a room alone, she performed an astounding surgical operation on herself, successfully removing the cancerous tumor. She survived her surgery for 19 years, believe it or not.
Taken seats that satisfy you, gentlemen, we will proceed at once with the business at hand.
Good.
Maps, photographs, and other data, Miss Arden.
In your portfolio, Mr. Parker.
Thank you, thank you. Gentlemen, we are faced with a crisis. We're in dire need of funds, and we shall acquire said funds from the Wentworth Diamonds. Net profit to us, $500,000.
But, boss, the Wentworth rocks are too hot to handle.
The main stone, yes. We have no interest in that. We shall acquire our revenue from the 24 smaller stones of the Wentworth collection.
Are we going to take it out of Lady Wentworth's home?
Lady Wentworth has only a paste copy of the diamonds in her name. The real diamonds are in the National Vault. At 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, the diamonds are to be transferred by armored truck from the National Vaults for 2 weeks' display at the Manchester Museum. It is there that we appropriate them.
They'll be heavily guarded at the museum, won't they?
You will hire a dozen of the city's most capable trigger men. They'll be paid well.
I get it. Rough stuff.
You will lead the operations, Mr. Adams. Six guards will stand in our way. The two at the front door can be subdued at trigger point. The two at the entrance to the gallery in which the Wentworth collection is being displayed may have to be rendered unconscious.
The other two?
The other two will be guarding the Wentworth diamonds. They are to be killed.
When do you plan to do this?
I'll inform you of the exact day and time of day. In the meantime, you'll study these maps and photographs at the Manchester Museum. One more thing.
There's more?
Yes, yes. We now come to that portion of our plans which involves the person known as Boston Blackie.
And now meet Richard Colmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
Like walking in the rain, Blackie?
That's a leading question.
Where does it lead?
Well, right now, Mary, around the corner to your apartment.
Okay. Oh, it's been a wonderful evening.
Yeah. I hope the three of us enjoyed it.
The three of us?
Sure. You and I and the man who's been following us.
Someone following us? Why?
Never had a man follow you before?
Oh. Did you see someone?
Yes.
What do we do?
Keep talking.
About what?
Oh, anything. Tell me a funny story.
A funny story?
So when I get through with him, this guy following us will have something to laugh about.
All right.
After we turn this corner here, I'll stop. But you go ahead, cut across the grass, and keep talking all the time. Here's the corner. Now, keep going. I'll hug the wall and get this fellow as he goes by.
But what if he puts up a fight?
About the only thing he'll get to put up is a squawk. Now, keep on talking. I stop here. Wish me luck.
I do. It was really the funniest thing that's happened to me in weeks, Blackie, that... telephone rang about 7 o'clock this morning. And a squeaky little voice asked for Ozzy.
All right, you reach.
Boss, don't shoot, it's me.
Shorty, well, what? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Mary, come on back. It's all right. It's a friend of mine.
I've been telling you all night, boss. I got to talk to you. But not with a dame, Blackie. I can't.
Since one of you turned girl shy? This is Mary Wesley, Shorty. Mary, this is Shorty, an old pal of mine.
Oh, how do you do? Boss, I got to talk to you, and where nobody can see us.
Well, if you two want to talk, you can come up to my apartment.
Next, boss, this got to be private conferring.
Come on, Shorty, it's all right. Mary doesn't talk, and besides, she makes good coffee.
Oh, hey, boss. Hey, you're right as a parson. This is sure good coffee.
How right are you about this frame? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I told you all I know, Blackie, and that's all I know. A high-class operator is going to snatch the Wentworth diamonds from the Manchester Museums.
And you got it straight from one of the hoods who was hired as a trigger man.
Well, from a guy who knew a guy who was hired.
But I don't understand how they're going to involve you, Blackie.
Well, the plan seems to be this. To dress one of the gunmen to look like me. He'll be called, Blackie several times during the holdup.
Yeah, and they figure to knock off a couple of guards, see? So Blackie will get wrapped by the cops for murder. And then to cinch it, they're planting the big Wentworth diamond in Blackie's apartment.
Is this really true?
Probably, but that doesn't mean it's going to work.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know when they're planning the robbery, so I don't know when to make sure to have an alibi. This is cute.
Well, why don't you try calling Inspector Faraday?
When I want somebody to laugh at me, I'll tell jokes.
Oh, please, Blackie, please. It's the smartest thing.
Will it make you happy?
Very.
All right.
Thanks.
I've always wanted a legitimate excuse to wake Faraday in the middle of the night anyway.
Oh, he'll listen to you. I just know it.
Like I listen to opera. Faraday's probably snoring so loud that he would...
Hello?
Faraday, this is your old pal Blackie.
Blackie, what's the idea of calling me up this time of night?
What's the matter, Sleeping Beauty? Were you dreaming you had the goods on me at last?
Did you call me up to make jokes, Blackie? Because if you did, I...
No. Listen, Inspector, and listen carefully.
I'm not listening to anything from you. Go to bed and let me get some sleep.
Wait. Faraday. Faraday.
Did he hang up?
Well, he didn't exactly invite me over for a midnight snack.
Well, gee, boss, now what do we do?
I know what you're going to do, Blackie. leave town.
Yeah, the lady's right, boss. You can't have no alibi 2 weeks long in this town. But if you just lamb out of town for 2 weeks...
I don't like to take it on the chin any more than anybody else. But I'm not going to take it on the lamb.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, darling. It's running away and you don't want to run away. But please, Blackie, please do it for me.
I must be getting soft.
Well, it's the thing you gotta do, boss. For the lady's sake.
Now, I'll get your train or plane reservations. You go to your apartment with Shorty and I'll phone you there.
I don't know why I'm doing this. I guess those looks of yours sure pack a wallop.
Never mind my looks. You just see to it that you pack a bag.
How many shirts you want in this suitcase, boss?
Oh, I don't know. Gosh, I wish that Chicago call would come in. Oh, well. Shorty, is there something that maybe you haven't told me yet? For instance, what time tomorrow are the diamonds being taken from the National Vaults to the museum?
7 o'clock. To be in the museum at 8, see? An armored car's picking them up.
No chance they intend to steal them en route. They're too well guarded in an armored car.
Gee, boss, how do you know the diamonds would be picked up at the National Vaults instead of Lady Wentworth's house?
Lady Wentworth wears only paste copies of the Wentworth diamonds. The real ones have always been in a vault.
Gee, you know everything, boss.
Well, I know I'm in the clear till those stones get to the museum at 8 tomorrow morning. This is probably my Chicago call now.
Or the dame with the reservations on a train, maybe.
Hello?
Blackie, this is Mary. I couldn't get a plane reservation at all. I got a train reservation to Chicago just as you wanted, but it's not until Friday.
All right, then I'll leave on Friday.
Oh, but Blackie, to be perfectly safe, you have to be out of town before tomorrow morning.
Look, honey, don't worry. I'll play Invisible Man until Friday.
But I am worried, darling. What if they rob the museum before Friday?
Then I'm in a jam.
Well, if having an alibi will help, can't someone be with you all the time?
You like the job for yourself?
Oh, Blackie. Oh, Blackie, be serious. You know I can't meet you until 4 o'clock.
That has to be a date.
All right. But be careful, darling. And call me in the morning?
I'll give you a ring at 10.
See that you do. Night.
Good night. Well, Shorty, looks like you and I have a chance to have a little fun. I can't leave town till Friday.
Oh, gee, boss. You better tell your pal Kingston in Chicago. And tell him you're not coming to see him until Friday, huh?
Not at all, short one. He's going to help me.
Oh. But gosh, what can he do? He's in Chicago.
He can give me a hand through one of his branch offices here. If I was... Oh, it's probably Charlie now. Hello?
Mr. Charles Kingston of the Kingston Corporation in Chicago calling Mr. Boston Blackie.
I'll take it, operator.
Here's your party, Mr. Kingston. Hello, Blackie.
Hello, Charlie.
How are you, fella?
Oh, swell, Charlie. Is the man who does favors in?
Good. Right, you're on ticket, Blackie. What is it?
Can you hear me clearly?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right, Charlie. Here's what I want you to do.
Hello?
Morning, Mary.
Oh, Blackie, I've worried all night long. Where are you?
In my apartment. Stop worrying.
But, Blackie, as long as you're in town and those...
Look, Mary, everything's going to be all right. There's nothing to the...
Blackie! Blackie! What's the matter? Blackie! May I see the timetable of the Wentworth diamond robbery, Hazel?
Here you are, Mr. Farthing.
Good. Now, here on the chart, we can see what progress we will make today.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1:30. The men are here at this moment, a mile and a half south of the museum. In 15 minutes, the first of them will enter the museum and take their places. In 30 minutes, it'll all be over. You're smiling.
Yes.
You like the way I plan?
Obviously.
Ah, if my schedule's right, this should be Mr. Boston Blackie. Come in.
Here he is, Mr. Farthing. Boston Blackie.
Oh. Won't you come in, Blackie?
Do I have a choice?
Not for the present. That'll be all, Tom.
Right.
I'm Roger Farthing. This is Miss Hazel Arden, my secretary. Hazel, the famous Boston Blackie.
How do you do?
How are you?
You know why you're here?
Not to play house. When do my teeth start chattering?
In exactly 22 minutes, men in my employ are going to steal the Wentworth diamonds from the Manchester Museum and inadvertently kill two of the guards. One of the gunmen will be referred to by the others as... Blackie, you begin to see?
Seeing is a little habit I picked up some time ago.
Splendid. As you probably know, the main Wentworth diamond is too distinctive to be of value to anyone other than its rightful owner.
So?
So, one of my associates is placing it in your apartment shortly after the robbery, then informing the police of its whereabouts. You will be forced to remain here until it is found. You understand?
Perfectly.
You know something, Blackie? Nothing disturbs you. I'd like to have you on my side.
You want me on your side? Believe me, Farthing, you'd be more comfortable with acute appendicitis.
This way to the display of the Wentworth diamonds, the Arling Galleries to the right. This way.
Saw a couple of the cars drive up across the street. Boy, she'll be coming through the front door in a minute, right? There they are. Took care of the guards at the door.
Go ahead, do your stuff.
All right, everybody, get back. Keep quiet. This isn't any fool.
Over this way, Blackie, in here.
Come on, get him, Blackie, over this way.
Blackie, get those two guards. Cut them down. Cut them down.
I got the diamonds. Let's go.
Nice shooting, Blackie. Nice shooting. Those guards never know what hit them.
Faraday.
Inspector, this is Mary Westley.
Yeah?
You remember me, don't you?
Oh, I remember all of Boston Blackie's friends, so I can identify him when we pull him out of the river. What do you want?
I talked to Blackie on the phone at 10 o'clock this morning. We were cut off. I haven't heard from him since.
Oh, don't let that surprise you.
But I had a date with him at 4 o'clock, and he didn't show up. I'm worried about him.
I think you should be.
Has something happened?
Plenty. I hope you like music, Miss Wesley, because you're playing second fiddle to the Wentworth Diamonds. Blackie stole them this afternoon.
Now back to our story. When we left Boston Blackie, he was, to all appearances, hopelessly victimized by Roger Farthing's plan to frame him for the theft of the Wentworth diamonds and the murder of the two museum guards. As provided in Farthing's plan, the police have been notified that the main Wentworth diamond is in Blackie's apartment. And as we continue our story, Inspector Faraday knocks on Blackie's door.
Okay, Blackie. Come on, open up in there. Open up! All right.
Hi,
Blackie.
Inspector.
Okay, Shorty. Go on, get back in the apartment. Where's Blackie? Where's the Wentworth diamond?
The Wentworth diamond, Inspector?
Shorty, the only time you look smart is when you're trying to look dumb.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Sit down over there and behave yourself. I'm going to look around for that diamond.
Oh, Inspector, there ain't no jewel around here. In that drawer anywhere else.
He not only stole the entire Wentworth collection, but he killed two guards. And you can't get out of a rap like that with a suspended sentence. Huh? Nothing in here. Maybe this drawer.
Look, Inspector, I can tell you the whole thing from the beginning if you'll believe me.
Yeah? Blackie rehearse you?
Look, do you remember when Blackie was...
the jewel wasn't here, huh? What's this, a kid's marble?
Gee. Hey, that rock's got more sparkle than a pinwheel.
Yeah, this is the Wentworth diamond, all right. Now, what do you do with the smaller ones?
You mean there's more?
You know there are more. All around here, some...
Uh-oh.
Someone's coming down the hall. It's probably Blackie. Turn out the lights.
Oh, Inspector.
Turn out those lights.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be wonderful. Wise guy knocking on his own door. Is that a signal to you?
It don't mean nothing to me. I...
I'll open it.
Blackie, are you... Oh.
Miss Wesley, it's you.
Is Blackie here?
Turn on the light, Shorty.
Oh, sure thing. Hi, Miss Wesley.
Shorty, where is he? What happened to him?
Well, didn't he meet you?
No. And when he called me, we were cut off. I don't know what happened.
Oh, gee.
Okay, you two. Make yourselves comfortable. Because we're going to wait right here for Blackie.
Oh, gee, Inspector, I think you're way off base.
Think so, huh? Well, we're waiting here all night if we have to. Because with Miss Wesley here, I'll guarantee Blackie thinks there's no base like home.
Mr. Farthing.
Oh.
Mr. Farthing.
Ah, I must have fallen asleep, Hazel. Sleep well earned.
You've released Boston Blackie?
Yes, yes. Before very long, we shall hear that he's been picked up for robbery. And murder. And tomorrow morning I shall have in my hands 24 of the most precious diamonds in the world.
Tomorrow morning, Mr. Farthing? You mean this morning?
Oh, it is quite late, isn't it?
Nearly mid-morning.
I suggest you go to your room and try to sleep, Hazel. And if you are addicted to dreams, my dear, perchance you can dream of the crime so perfect that it cost nothing but the life of Boston Blackie.
Gee, Inspector, it's 2 in the morning.
Hey, when do we get out of here, huh?
When I say you do, not before. So don't keep asking. Uh-oh, there's a key in the door. It's probably Blackie. Quiet.
Mary, Shorty, well, good morning. What?
Hold it, Blackie.
Oh, Inspector, do you have to turn up when I feel refreshed and happy? One look at you and I'm 20 years older.
You're not going to live 20 years, Blackie. What they do to you for murder in this state isn't good for your health.
What did I do? Kill one of your jokes?
You killed two guards at the Manchester Museum yesterday.
No, don't be a fool, Faraday. I wasn't near the Manchester Museum when those guards were killed.
Then where did you get this diamond I found in your drawer? At the 5 and 10?
I could get one like that off a chandelier, Inspector. That's a phony.
That's the central diamond from the Wentworth collection. And you know it.
I don't even know that the diamonds were stolen.
What?
For all I know, they're still in the Manchester Museum, just where they ought to be.
Sometimes I think you ought to have your head examined. There are witnesses who saw you there. I find the diamond in your apartment, and you tell me the Wentworth jewels are still in the museum. Come on, what did you do with the smaller stones?
Mary, call the museum, will you?
Sure.
The phone number's Plaza 39613.
That kind of a stall isn't going to get you anywhere, Blackie. Forget about that phone call, Miss Wesley.
Make it, Mary, and don't be a dope, Faraday. Wait a minute.
What'll I say?
Tell the museum you're calling for Inspector Faraday.
All right.
I'm not going to wait around for any phone call.
Where would you like to meet us, Inspector? At the Ritz or the Rooney?
Very funny, Blackie. But I don't need a phone call to prove those diamonds were stolen. I got one of them right in my hand.
Roll that stone out, Inspector, and it'd make a nice window pane.
Hello, Manchester Museum. I'm calling for Inspector Faraday. Yes, of police headquarters.
They don't even know you, pal.
Yes, just a minute. He wants to talk to you, Inspector.
Yeah? We didn't know who I was, huh? Give me that phone.
Blackie said he's been trying to reach the inspector
all
morning.
Hello, this is Faraday.
Most people don't know when they're well
off.
What
do you want? The Wentworth diamonds are in their display case. What? Sure, I'll be right down.
I told you the diamonds were right where they belong, Faraday. Have a nice trip down there. Mary and I are going to have some breakfast. You too, Shorty, come on.
Just a minute, Blackie. I don't fall for any of the tricks this easy. I'm going down to have a look at those jewels, all right? But you're going with me.
Here are the diamonds, Inspector, just as they were before the robbery. I don't understand it, but here they are.
How do I know these aren't phony?
I beg your pardon, Inspector, but I'm an expert in such matters.
What about this diamond in my hand?
It's paste.
And what's this gag about the jewels being stolen and two guards killed?
Well, it's all very true, Inspector. But this morning when I came into the museum, here were the diamonds just as they were before the unfortunate incident. It's amazing.
Happy, Faraday?
All the diamonds are here?
All but one small stone. But we're so happy to have the other diamond returned, we aren't terribly concerned.
Well, I'm concerned. Especially about those two murdered guards.
I'll tell you where you can find that missing stone, Faraday, and the man responsible for the death of the two guards.
In your apartment?
No, in room 909 in the Winston Hotel. In the handkerchief pocket of a friend of mine.
Blackie, you're getting deeper and deeper into this every minute.
I'll be in plenty deep if a certain party had a cold last night. A diamond that size is nothing to sneeze at.
Here's room 909. Whose room is this?
You'll see.
Yes?
Hello, beautiful.
What do you want?
In. Come on, Inspector.
I'm with you.
How dare you force your way in here?
I seemed welcome enough here yesterday. Where's Farthing?
Who's out there?
Don't talk, beautiful. He's in there, Inspector. Come on.
Mr. Farthing, it's the police.
What's the meaning of...
You two know each other, don't you?
Hello, Farthing. I didn't know you were in town.
Oh, good morning, Inspector. I was just in town for the day on a buying trip.
Buying diamonds, Inspector.
Diamonds?
For free. Look in his handkerchief pocket, Faraday.
I'm in no mood for practical jokes, gentlemen. I have a business appointment that
You may have to reach inside for the stone, yep. Faraday. The handkerchief may not pull it out.
We'll see. There.
What fell on the desk, Inspector?
Looks like a diamond to me. Farthing, if this is from the Wentworth collection, I'm arresting you for murder and robbery.
It's from the Wentworth collection, all right.
From the looks of it, I'd say the same thing. Congratulations, Blackie.
If Farthing, do you admit this is a Wentworth diamond?
Oh, I see no reason why I shouldn't. You'll discover it for yourself in due time. I know when I'm beaten, but I don't know how. Blackie?
Sorry, Farthing. That's a secret of the profession.
If we of the same profession were alone...
Same profession? Don't flatter yourself, Farthing.
Inspector, would you be so kind?
Let us have 5 minutes alone, Faraday. It's all right.
I'm not the type to run away from anything once I run into it. It's entirely safe.
Well, with Blackie in here and me outside the door, I guess it's okay. 5 minutes, no more.
Sit down.
Thanks. You're a good sport, Farthing. Sit right here.
A gambler has to be a good sport.
Yes, I guess he does.
I'm amazed. How did you do it, Blackie? When?
The diamond in your pocket? It wasn't easy. You didn't let me get close to you but once when I was here yesterday. Fortunately, once was enough.
But that's so utterly impossible. The diamonds were still in the museum when you were here yesterday.
That's where you're wrong, Farthing. The diamonds were never in the museum. Only a set of paste.
Why?
I switched them myself at the National Vaults, 8 o'clock yesterday morning.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Tell me how.
Well, the first thing I did was to borrow Lady Wentworth's paste set. That was easy. Lady Wentworth is away. The paste set is not locked up because it's worthless. Then I hired an armored car.
That alone is no simple matter.
It was simple enough for my friend Charlie Kingston.
Of Chicago?
Yes. He hired an armored car for me through his local office.
Oh, and how did you use this armored car?
My friend Shorty and I dressed as bank guards and went to the delivery entrance of the vaults a little before 8 with the paste diamonds in a case just like the ones the real diamonds were in.
I see. You stayed just inside the delivery entrance until the armored truck came along, then walked out with the paste diamonds and gave them to the driver.
Well, that was no problem. We weren't stealing anything, just handing to the driver something he expected to get.
So far, brilliant. Brilliant. Then what?
Then Shorty and I got our own armored car from around the block, drove it to the delivery entrance of the vault, and picked up the real diamonds from the real bank guards.
Ah, that was simple, too, because the bank guards expected to see an armored car outside the delivery entrance.
So a set of phonies went to the museum, and I kept the real set. Until after your men robbed the museum. Then I broke into the museum at night and delivered the real diamonds, that is... all except the one small stone which I planted on you.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Thanks. That's a lot coming from you under the circumstances.
I am an artist in my way, Blackie, and you're an artist in yours. Does one great painter scoff at the work of another because the other's artistry is superior to his own?
Maybe you're not the artist you think, Farthing.
Why do you say that?
The idea of involving me. It seems to me that a good artist concentrates more on the picture and a little less on the frame.
Oh, Blackie, look at those lovely diamonds in this window. Aren't those engagement rings beautiful?
They sure are.
Oh, how I'd love to have that one there.
You would?
Well, it might depend on who gave it to me.
Oh.
I might like you to give me one someday. Except.
Except what?
Except I'd never be quite sure just how you got it.
That's Case Closed for this week. You can find the website for this show at relicradio.com/caseclosed. You can find more old-time radio at relicradio.com. All the podcasts are listed there, including a link to our forum, a shoutcast stream, and everything else we have cooking over at relicradio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/relicradio. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Case Closed.